Give us a little background on this, because this was a ship that was supposedly never to be sunk.
Unsinkable is what they called it. And they were so confident in the technology of this new, beautiful boat. It was the largest moving man-made object on the planet at the time. So they thought it was unthinkable that this thing would ever sink. So it's an interesting story. People approach this story and this exhibit from many different ways. Some people want to hear the romantic side of, you know, life during the Gilded Age. Other people are interested in the engineering of how did humans build something this large at that time. And then there are people who are interested in the disaster and the science and the recovery of the ship. And how did we find this boat 2.5 miles below the sea? And then what does it take to bring those artifacts here to Dubuque?
So tell us a little bit more about this. It was a different time, and there were a lot of things happening as far as status and culturally on the boat as well as the boat itself.
Yeah, there was definitely a separation of the classes during this time in England and in the United States. So you had from first class to third class passage on the Titanic. And in our exhibit, you can see a replication of a first class cabin and a third class cabin. And the third class cabin we have has 4 beds in it, and those were all sold to separate people. So you could have been roomed with complete strangers on your voyage. The Titanic third class passengers paid about $600 in today's dollars to be on the Titanic, and they had so many third class passengers because they knew it would help pay the bills just to get the ship across the ocean. So there was a very different feel and a different experience for those passengers as opposed to the first class passengers. Different dining areas, different levels of the boat, different amenities in the rooms.
And it sounds like that when the ship hit this iceberg, that there was another ship that was sort of closer, but they didn't really pay attention to the flares and that sort of thing.
Yeah, there's some information in the exhibit about how far away the Carpathia was and whether they could actually see the flares or not due to the curvature of the earth and lighting at night. And it was a cloudless night, so there was a lot of reflection from the moonlight. So there's a lot of debate on whether they could have been there in time to rescue more people. There's a lot of debate on whether or not they should have tried to avoid the icebergs because they did receive several ice warnings.
Now, there are several things that, because of this terrible tragedy, that have changed how maritime travel is done today. Tell us a little bit about some of those changes.
Well, the first and most obvious one is a requirement for enough lifeboats. Titanic did not have enough lifeboats for everyone on board, but they did have enough lifeboats that were required by law at the time. But they had more in the original design, and they removed them because they thought it made the deck look too cluttered. And of course, their arrogance of, this is an unsinkable ship, we don't really need these anyways. So that has changed. There has to have lifeboats for every single soul on board, including the crew. The requirement for a safety briefing. If you've been on a cruise ship lately, they do a briefing and a practice of how do you get to your lifeboat, where is your life vest. Also, the communication and technology has greatly improved safety, from everyone knowing exactly where every other boat is, how to communicate with other boats, how to communicate with people on shore if they need help or they need rescue.